Okay, all we're doing is we are trying to just have conversations with ladies who have received the promise, which means that you've reached your 70. You've made it to your 70. You know, God promises 70 years. The promise is 70 years. You've achieved the promise, and you've exceeded the promise. So we're just talking casual questions. Nothing hard or takes a whole lot of thinking. What's your name?
Dorothy Leavings Gallo.
You have a middle name?
Okay. But I always use my family name as my middle name.
Okay, you have a nickname?
They call me Dot.
They call you Dot. Where were you born?
Eunice, Louisiana.
You were born in Eunice?
Yes.
I thought you were born in Meeker with the rest of them.
Oh, no.
Okay. When were you born?
December 22nd, 1936.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Who are you married to?
Clifton Gallo.
How long have you been married?
39 years.
Oh, you remember when you got married?
Yes.
When did you get married?
August the 9th.
1975. Say it with confidence. Okay, how many children do you have, and how many children have you helped raise?
I gave birth to one, but I'm the mother of five, 4 girls and 1 boy.
Have you helped raise any other children?
Yes.
How many?
I have to count my nieces. I helped raise my nieces and my nephews.
I remember some children around here that weren't your nieces and nephews.
Yes, the neighborhood children. Mm-hmm. I had a hand in raising them.
Okay, you had some special little children. I remember you having a little boy you have raised for a long time.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. How many of those?
It's one little boy I helped raise, and then I started with the little girl, but somehow she got away from me.
Okay. Tell me about your parents.
I had loving parents. Parents that was a giving. Parents always willing to help. They didn't have much education, but then they wanted to see their children be educated. My mother was a cook, and my father worked at the lumber yard.
What were their names? What were their names?
My mother's name was Beatrice Johnson Leavings, and my daddy's name was Manuel Leavings.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell me about them? Anything else you want to tell me about your parents?
My parents, they loved the Lord, and they taught us about the Lord. They were parents that a loving family that loved their family, and it made us love our family more because we saw that there was a close family and they was always helping out with each other. They were in the neighborhood, and most of the children called my mom Aunt B, and they called my dad Mr. Manuel. But they was parents that helped to raise, said it takes a whole village to raise the children. My parents was that type that was always trying to help somebody else as we would go along. A lot of our family, we had my aunt live here and my uncle, but whenever the family would come to town, they would always make it to, we call it the big house. Even after they passed, when family would come from out of town, they would come to the big house. So the house was always open for whoever wanted to come. My mother would always cook, and she would say, there's always enough food for one more. So they always shared what they had with others.
Okay. Tell me about growing up in Eunice. What do you remember about growing up in Eunice?
Well, Eunice was, at that time, it was a nice place to grow up in because we didn't see a lot of things that's going on now. And like the people in Eunice was always kept. The neighborhood, Eunice is a small town. And we were all like families because whenever one person was, child was in trouble, the community was in trouble. And they were there to back the family. The people in Eunice would help each other. We didn't have a lot of things, and the children in the community that we was brought up with, they didn't have a lot of things. So everybody in the community was like mostly on the same level. My parents was very supportive of the school, so we had to take part in school activities, and the teacher didn't have any problem with us because my mom and my mom especially was always there to support the teachers, the school. She was a hard worker. She supported the school. She supported us in the activities that we were in. So it was, I enjoyed, and I think about when I was a child coming up in a community, and I look at the community now, it's so much different. But you can't look back. You have to go forward and do whatever you can in your community.
Okay. Tell me about your sisters and brothers.
Oh, I had loving sisters and brothers. They were always sharing. We were always taught to share. When whatever one had, the other one had it. If that one needed, then you was welcome to it. They were always, we were always supportive of each other. We supported the family, their families, and they supported my family, and we helped with their children, and they helped with my children. So I had some loving sisters and some brothers, some caring sisters and brothers.
Okay. What do you remember most about being a child?
Well, playing in the neighborhood, playing ball, street ball, having children to come over, because the yard was always full of other children. So playing with the children, taking a part in church, going to church three times a day, staying in church half of the night. Yeah, we'd go to church and we'd go to Sunday school and then we'd go to BYPU and then we had night service. So we was in church most of the time on Sundays. They had a little canteen place around the corner from my house, and we'd go there on a Sunday evening and maybe on a Saturday evening, and we would dance and drink soda water and eat ice cream and mix with the other children. But that was the end of that as far as, and I grew up, I was married before I went to the club. First time I went to the club was when my husband took me to the club. I had never been to the club.
How old were you?
22 years old.
Okay.
And other young ladies in the community was going to the club, but we wasn't allowed to go to the clubs.
Where was the cantina at?
It was about two blocks. They call it Preston Levon, two blocks from our house.
Where at? Make me know.
Across from where Joe Cootie grocery store at right now.
Oh, okay.
Right by the school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. At what point did you realize I'm not a child anymore?
Well, when I got ready to go to college, I knew I was going out because I would go to my auntie in Beaumont, Texas, and spend a week, 2 weeks with her vacationing. And then when I got ready to pack up to leave, to go to off to college, I said, well, I'm going. I felt I was going off on my own then, leaving home for months, not for a couple of weeks, but for months.
Where did you go to college?
I attended Grambling University, and then I attended Grambling University. I went to Grambling University first. I stayed there 3 years, but I finished at Southern University.
All right, we're going to take a little walk through the generations. Okay. What do you remember about your 20s?
About what?
When you were in your 20s.
When I was in my 20s? I worked and I was in school.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about your 30s? What do you remember about your 30s?
Well, I gave birth to Antoinette Grant when I was 32 years old. Okay. And I worked. I went back to school. Because I didn't finish right then. I dropped out of school and I got married. And then my husband and I separated and got a divorce. But we had a daughter, Antoinette, and I worked during that time. And I went back to school and I would work in the daytime and I would go to classes at night. And then I would, when I got married the second time, I still would go to school and worked. And then I graduated from Southern University.
So that would be your 40s? Are we into your 40s now?
That was in my late 30s.
Mm-hmm. So what do you remember about your 40s? Because now you're married again. You're newlywed in your 40s.
Yes, I'm married again. Married a man with with four children. And it was rough the first few years because one of them was spoiled.
You had a blended family.
Yes, I had a blended family. And one of them was spoiled. But now that she is very supportive now, but when she was 12 years old when her father and I got married, so she was sort of like spoiled, even though they had one that was younger than her, but she was spoiled now, but it's a different thing with her now. All I have to do is just call until I need her and she's here.
So a little patience paid out.
Yes.
So what about your 50s? Because now you've been married over 10 years.
Oh, my. Well, and you know, I always loved the Lord. And I go to church, believe in going to church, doing whatever I can to help someone else. So if things were just the same, going to work, going to church, helping people. So that's what I've been doing.
So what about your 60s? What do you remember about your 60s?
My what?
60s.
My 60s?
Yeah.
I don't remember too much. Let me see about my 60s. I don't really know too much about my 60s.
Well, weren't you in your grandparents' days in your 60s?
Oh, in 60s? No, because in the 60s, even though Let's see.
The day I was born in 1966.
Cut that off. It was still the same. It was still,
All right, what about the 70s?
And 19.
How old are you today?
Oh, 77 years old.
Okay, 77 years old. You're 77 right now? So you're in your 70s now.
Yeah, I'm in my 70s now. I retired in 2000. No, 2006.
Where did you retire from?
I retired as education specialist at St. Leonard Parish. Head Start, St. Leonard Parish, Community Action, St. Leonard Parish.
So how long did you work with Head Start?
30-some years.
What kind of stuff did you do with Head Start?
Well, I started as a volunteer. Then I was a teacher aide, then a teacher, and I became center director, head teacher. Then I became the education specialist, and what we would do is supervise the teachers in Head Start. We go into the Head Start centers and observe the teachers, and we was very supportive of the teachers, helping them to do their job and working with the children.
So you started at the bottom and worked your way up?
Worked my way up.
From the bottom to the top?
From the bottom to the top as a volunteer. And I went through all of the volunteer, teacher's aide, teacher, center director, director of the center, and education specialist. And 2006, I retired in 2006 in July. And in September, I had to go to Washington, D.C. to take care of my daughter. And I stayed up there a year. I came home twice, and my family came up and visited me. And then in 2011, I was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And I had surgery in 2012. And went through that, and I'm doing fine.
So you're a survivor.
Taking care of that's right, a survivor. And I have two grandchildren that lives here in Eunice, and they're in and out of the house. I'm helping my daughter to raise them. I attend basketball, baseball, softball, soccer ball, whatever activity my grandchildren are in, I'm there to support them.
And you're the loudest cheer in the crowd.
And
the loudest cheerleader in the stadium.
That's right. And I work in the church. I'm on the new members orientation committee. I'm the president of the senior mission. And I'm involved in the church. I've sung in the choir. I'm just involved in the church and involved in the community. I'm on the Martin Luther King committee. We sold sandwiches today because we are planning on giving at Martin Luther King Day. We're planning on giving two scholarships, one to some black child and one to a white child. So we had a fundraising today. And I just work in the community. So I'm retired, taking care of my husband because he's sick. So Well, sometimes we in and out of the doctor's office 5 days a week, but thank God that he's there with us. We're on the road sometimes 3 and 4 times a week, but God has spared us to go where we have to go and come back.
Okay. If you look back over the years, which years would you say were your easiest years?
Well, the years really wasn't hard. I guess the easiest years when I was a child growing up.
What about as an adult?
Huh?
What about as an adult?
As an adult?
What's the easiest years?
Let's see.
So that would be starting with college, because that's when you realized you were an adult. You were headed off.
Headed off. Well, the easiest year whenever I finished, because I didn't, you know, I didn't finish in 4 years because I dropped out of school, and because when I dropped out, I got married, and then after the divorce and everything, I went back to school. And so I would say after I graduated from college, and don't ask me when that was. that was easy then, because I was taking care of family plus going to night school, and I had to go to Baton Rouge at night, and I'd go to Ville Platte and did my student teaching, which was about 15 or 20 miles, about 20 miles from here, student teacher over there, and then I had to stay over twice a week because I had a night class, so that was pretty rough. So when I finished college, after I finished.
So probably your 40s? Say that was your 40s?
Yeah, you can say that.
So what would you say have been your hardest years?
I really don't look at having a hard year. Well, this year, last year, was pretty rough when my husband was diagnosed with cancer. At the same time, he had to go to dialysis. Mm-hmm. So I could say last year, which was 2013 to 2014, because even when I had cancer, it wasn't hard at all, you know. When I had to go to Baton Rouge, which is 80-some miles from here, to oncology and to the doctor over there, so that really wasn't hard. But from 75, I mean, last year, which was 2013 and 2014, but it's getting easy now. It's getting easy.
So you had cancer and treatments and all that, and your husband has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, his struggle's harder for you than your own struggle was.
The struggle for him
is harder for you than your own struggle.
Right, right.
So why do you think that is?
For him, I guess it's because I knew when I was diagnosed with cancer, I accepted that. Mm-hmm. Because I know that my God is a healer. And I had prayed on that. And it really wasn't, you know, hard. I had people that supported me, was very supportive of me, in and out of my house, doing and helping me. And with my husband, it was hard for him to accept that he had cancer and that he had to go on dialysis. And we had to be on the road and to the doctors more now than when I was, you know, when I was sick. So, and we still have support, but
So watching someone else, watching a loved one struggle is more difficult for you than having your own struggle.
Right, right. Because, you know, I knew how I felt, you know. But I could only see him, and I would just assume, you know, and knowing that he hadn't accepted it, you know. So, but now it's better because he has accepted it, and we know that we have to accept whatever God allows. And that was the thing that he had to do, and that he had to believe that he was going to get through this.
Okay. So is that like that whole mother thing where it hurts me more than seeing my child hurt? Seeing my child hurt hurts me more than my child is hurting, kind of thing?
Yes, yes. Because it's hard when you see a loved one that's hurting. You know, might be hurting, but you know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. But that one is hurt. Yet they hurting, but you don't know, you know, how they handle it. You know how they feeling, and it's hurting because you can't do any more for them than you want to do.
Okay, let's change the mode a little bit. What is one of your fondest memories? We're going to come back because somewhere along the way you're going to say, I remember when. What do you think has been one of your greatest accomplishments?
My greatest accomplishment is when I got my degree.
Okay.
That was the greatest accomplishment because I had struggled, you know.
Because you were a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
You were a single mom trying to go to school.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. What is your degree in?
Mm-hmm.
What is your degree in?
In education.
Okay, you have a bachelor's of education?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bachelor.
All right. Is there something you were still hoping to accomplish? Is there something in your bucket list you're waiting to say, these are the things I want to do, and is there something you on your list you say, I still want to do?
Well,
we know it's not cruise.
Huh?
We know going on a cruise is not it.
And no, it's not it.
So what's on your bucket list? What is it you still hope to accomplish?
Well, you know what my greatest concern about, and I would like to see this happen, it has to do with the church, with the children in the church. It seemed as though when I was coming up and when my children was coming up, we had more people in the church that was willing to volunteer and work and do things with the children. But now in the church, it's hard to get people and young people to work with the children. And I would like to see the Sunday school improve. I would like to see more activities going on in the church with the children. And that is what I'm really, my mind is focusing on. What can I do? How can I get the younger women involved with the young girls, more involved with the young girls in church to do things with the young girls and with the young men also. But I know, you know, with me working with the younger women, I'm trying to get them more involved with the younger ladies in the church. And I would like to really see that accomplished.
Okay. Right. What advice would you give to younger women?
A young lady, I would tell them to put Christ in their life. I would tell them, whatever you would do, before you do anything, you should pray on it and wait for God to give you the answer. Don't you make that decision. Wait for Him. Wait until He would tell you. And always plan. You have to have a plan for anything that you're going to do. And with you putting God first in your life, then you're going to pray to Him and you're going to wait on Him. Don't just make that decision on your own. You pray to Him and wait for Him to tell you what to do.
Okay. What advice would you have for young men?
I would tell them, I would tell them the same thing, you know. Just don't jump up and do things at the spur of moments. You have to plan. First, you have to spend time with God. Spend time with God. You have to spend time with Him and pray. And then wait for Him to give your answer before you make that decision. And that's what I can tell anybody. Just don't jump up and do things. You have to pray and stay in touch with God and know that God is always there with you. Even though you feel that you're alone, you're not alone because He is there. But you have to go and you have to spend some time with Him. You have to go and be alone with Him. And spend time with Him and spend time in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And pray.
And pray.
You have to pray. You have to pray.
So let's see. You are a single mother. You help raise 5 children. Mm-hmm. And you worked your way up from the bottom to the top in the Head Start system. Mm-hmm. You are a breast cancer survivor, and with all of those accomplishments, you say your greatest accomplishment was getting your degree. Why?
I guess because it was a struggle, you know, and it wasn't easy because I had to drop out. I dropped out, but then I went back. And through this, it still was a struggle, but I had family support also.
Okay. And I would say, if you say getting your degree was after all you've accomplished was one of your greatest accomplishments, then that would lead me to think that you think education is important.
Oh, very. Education is very, very important. Very important. And I talked to the children, all the children. I would see this young man. He would run. He would ride his bicycle. He lived at the end of this road, and I just thought, I don't know if he always lived there or what, but I would see him going on his bicycle. And then when the kids started school, my grandchildren, they would come here and they would go a couple of houses over and they would be out there playing, and I would see him going over there with him. So the kids were all in school and I was out on the car porch and he passed, so I called him. And I talked to him, I spoke to him, and I asked him why he wasn't in school. So he said, well, I'm a start school. I said, well, how old are you? So he said, I'm 15. I said, well, you should be in school. So he said, well, I'm going to go to school. I said, you're going to go to school? I said, well, school and start. He said, I'm going next week. I said, well, why are you going next week? So he said, I said, you need an education because of, you need, in these days and time, you need an education. I said, so, see, like I said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I said, you don't want to waste, you know, your time, because time is rolling on. So he said, I thought he said, I'm going to go to the Catholic school. Now, I didn't ask him what grade he was supposed to be in, but he was 15 years old. So he said, and I said, well, when you're going to start? He said, I'm going to start next week. So I said, okay. I said, because you're going to have to go to school, or you're going to have to find, go and take a trade, you know, because I don't think they would hire him at 15. So when my daughter came home, I was telling her about this young man. I said, and he said, he going to go to the Catholic school. So she said, no, he probably told he was going to go to the Cap school. And that's the school that they have in Opelousas where the kids from here would go there and they'd catch the bus. I said, but he said he's going to go next week. She said, well, they have to take a test. So now when he would pass, he would never speak or anything. But now when he see me, he make me see him. Because he have a smile, and he, hi there. So I say, hi, you know. But I'm waiting for him to start school to see what he's going to do. And the other day I came home, and my daughter was telling me, that little girl down the street, she didn't start. She said, she didn't start school today. I said, well, why she didn't start school? She said, because she didn't have her uniform and she didn't have her supplies. I said, well, oh, we have to do something about that. I said, we're going to have to help that little girl to get her uniforms and get her supplies. Mm-hmm. I said, they had something at the neighborhood center where they was giving out supplies. So she said, well, what happened? I couldn't take her there, and I wasn't home. I attended a funeral. So she said, I had the other two little children, plus I had my children to take. So she said, I never really thought about it. I said, well, we're going to have to do something about it, because at that is Black Men Make a Difference in Black Parents Outreach Club, which I'm a member of the Parents Outreach Club. I said, well, they have uniforms that they give away down there. She said, but I never thought about it. She said, and it was in the truck, so the truck was loaded because she picked up some other kids to go, because the parents, they didn't take the children. They're supposed to take the children, but they don't take them. So we'll just see that, you know, they get away there so they can get the supplies. And but a couple of days after that, the next day, she told me that somebody had helped her. And they got, because I wanted to find out what size she wore, because they do give uniforms, and I think they had some left over, you know. But I was going to find out what size she would wear. So if it's anything that I can do for the children to help them in school, or things that they need to go to school, if I can get it for them, if I can help them with it, I will help them. Because I don't want to see any of the children not going to school because they don't have uniforms or they don't have supplies to go to school.
What makes you smile?
Well, when I see people, young people doing well, when I see my grandchildren singing in church, praising the Lord in church, their own program speaking, I smile. Like this little league from Chicago, Illinois, to sit here and watch the game today and to see an all-black team for the first time that they ever won to win that game. When this young man caught the ball and it was two men out, I don't know, remember the bases was loaded, and then my little niece had to tell me that they had won the game. I thought his foot wasn't on the base, but she said it was, and that made me do more than smile. And I love seeing, I'm not prejudiced, but seem as though our children are having a hard time now. And when they do well, that makes me smile. I'll just sit back and just look at her and smile.
Okay. One last thing. Do you have a favorite saying, scripture, or quote that you like to leave us with?
Yes. Proverbs 6:13. Is it?
What does it say?
You know, when my grandchildren are here, and they leave to go to school, or if I talk with them before, I always tell them, you can always pray. When you're taking the test, even though they took prayers out of school, they didn't take it from you. You can still pray. But I tell them to say, Proverbs 6:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I tell them that, and I tell their mama to tell them that when they leave it, to tell them. Proverbs 6:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I talk to them about that all the time. You can do it. I mean, don't say you can't do it. You can, you know.
Okay. I do have one last question. This is the real last question. Who are you?
I'm a woman of faith.
See, thank you. See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, I tell you, you made me look at these years that passed by.